Amen. First John, second chapter of First John. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know, Satan is a very subtle being. He will use the Word of God itself to lure God's people into sinning. Come on, church. He'll tell them, go ahead and try it. Once won't hurt anyway. Amen. Besides, God always forgives. Come on, church. I mean, I'm 66, but the devil's still trying. Huh? Well, God may forgive and He may not. That's in His hand. But you see, Satan wants folks to at least try it. Because the devil knows that even if God does forgive a sin, it will still have an after effect on you. Huh? I said, if you try it and you ask forgiveness and you get forgiveness, and I hope that it'll always be, but that's not why He wrote that. He said, my little children, I'm writing it so you won't do it. Come on, church. But the devil wants you to try it, amen. And even if God does forgive you, the devil knows that you are going to pay a price. There will be an after effect, amen, of that sin in your life. The devil, amen, the Bible tells us so. The Bible said bread of deceit is sweet to a man. But afterwards, his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Did you hear that? Bread of deceit is sweet to a man. But after a while, his mouth will be filled with gravel. Amen. Let me preach to you tonight for a little while. Amen. On the aftermath of sin. The Bible tells us, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But men tend to live for the moment that they are happen to be in. Amen. They never think about where will this lead me to? What will this do to my life? What will this do to my testimony? What will this do to my children? What will this do to my family? They don't think about that. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. I know that the Bible tells us that He's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God. Amen. Amen. And I know that the Bible tells us that our sins are cast away as far as the east is from the west from us. Thank God. Amen. Amen. And Luke, or whoever wrote the book of Acts, amen. Amen. Said, but he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin, and by him all that believe are justified from all things for which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Amen. I want you to know that God is able to take care of any sin and every sin that you can name. I don't care how far you've gone. I don't care how low you've been. God is able to save you. Amen. I want you to know that tonight. Amen. The sin is gone, thank God. But still, we have to live with the aftermath of that sin. You know, Paul, I admire greatly. Amen. I really do. He wasn't an Indian, but I really do think a lot of him. Amen. Amen. Come on and give us about 90% of what we believe. Wrote it down where we could understand it. But did you know that Paul had to face the aftermath of his sin? Right. Amen. Paul wrote, I thank Christ, Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful in putting me into the ministry. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, amen, and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world, amen, to save sinners of whom I am chief. Get that, amen. Paul said, amen, to save sinners whom I am chief, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. Amen. The Bible said, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committing them to prison. Amen. Paul should have gone to hell. If anybody deserved to go, he did. Come on, church. But God saved him. And God forgave him. And God forgot every one of them sins. God forgot them, amen. But did you know that Slewfoot the devil did not forget one thing that Paul had done? He don't ever forget. He don't ever forget it. Amen. And while Satan could not force Paul to quit, he could make Paul's life miserable. Huh? Come on, church. Now, we know Paul but Lord, he was something else. I read some of his words and I ain't got there, and I don't know if I'll ever get there. I'm exceedingly joyful in all our tribulations. Sweet Lamb of God. Sweet Lamb of God. My God in heaven. We can't hardly stand it if they won't shake our hand. Right. No, I'm telling you the truth. It seemed that he excelled in hard times. That's right. He's more joyful when he's getting whipped than any other time. I don't understand that. Amen. Praise God. I pastored church for 15 and a half years, and I don't know if I got one amen out of that whole congregation all that time or not. Till my boys got up big enough to start amening me. Some of them wanted to come and preach when I said, come on, I'll learn whether you're called or not. Amen. But you know what Paul said? Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Amen. Paul had something he felt that he just could not stand. And yet he was glad when he was getting whipped. But this thorn in the flesh, he asked the Lord three times. And the only thing he could get from heaven is, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. That's all he could get from heaven. No relief. Now, I know this thorn is a subject of much debate among us ministers. I've heard it argued that he had poor eyesight. I don't know whether he did or not. Some of them said he's a little short man. I don't know where he was or not. Some of them said he couldn't talk too good. I don't believe that. Huh? And it's all, you know, I mean, and so... My buddies that read books said, all right, Buzzard, you know so much, what is it? Well, I said, did you hear what Paul said it was? I wonder if he knew. He said it was a messenger sent to him from Satan to buffet his soul. Woo! So I got my big dictionary out and I looked up messenger. Guess what it said? It said an emissary from one person to another carrying a note or a message from one person to another.
Come on, tell us about it.
What's hard about that? All right. Amen. Sweet Lamb of God. Amen. And what message could Satan have for Paul that would buffet his soul to the place that he'd cry out to God three times, Lord, help me! Come here, Jimmy. You're going to be Paul. I'm going to be the messenger. Jerry, I'm sorry. All right.
I'm Paul.
Get up there, Paul. All right, you're about to take your test here.
Okay. Hey, Paul.
Hi.
Hey.
Remember Stephen? Now preach.
Come on.
Help him, y'all. Huh? About the time Paul would take a text to preach on something, that messenger would come, tap him on the shoulder and say, remember Stephen? Remember Jonathan? Remember how many women? How many men? How many people did you cause go to hell? What right have you got to stand up there and tell people how to live?
Come on.
Try to preach over that. I'm telling you, the aftermath of sin is a rough thing to handle. And all the Lord would tell him is, Paul, my grace is sufficient. Every time the devil told him you can't be saved, hey man, because of what you've done to him and that and there and that and over there and that church down yonder, hey man, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for that, Paul, don't worry about it. The aftermath of sin lives on. The sin is gone. Paul was preaching the gospel. Paul was a man of God. People were healed by his hand. But still the messenger of Satan buffeted his soul daily about what he had done. Remember. I want to tell you something. I got saved when I was 12 years old. Sweet Lamb God, am I glad I did. I remember Brother Lloyd, preachers coming by our place, and they stand up and brag how much they used to drink, how much they used to smoke, how much they used to carouse. I got to wondering if they didn't miss it. About 15 years old, amen, Brother Jerry, I told Mom, I said, I ain't never going to be a good preacher. I can't be a good preacher. She said, why not? I said, well, I don't know nothing about smoking and drinking and carrying on and crowding. I don't know nothing. I can't say nothing about that. I don't know what in the world. I don't.
Come on, come on.
Mama said, you need to talk to Daddy. Oh, Lord. Daddy took me to the bedroom and said, son, what's the problem? I told him. You know what he told me? He said, son, you got to remember one thing. They're having all the fun they'll ever have. Hey, man, and you ain't even started having fun yet.
Think about it.
All right. Come on, church! Yeah. I'm glad I ain't got none of that aftermath. Yeah. We've got some men in this building that would rather not have what they have in their past life. You won't hear them bragging about it, or I ain't heard any of them bragging about it. But we got some out on the line that's telling it. You children need to hear me tonight. You don't need the aftermath of sin in your life. I ain't telling you God can't forgive you. I ain't telling you He won't forgive you. That's God's department. But I am telling you that you will live with the aftermath. Hey, amen. After it's all said and done, after the sin's gone. Hey, amen. I knew an old preacher man out in California, a good preacher man. Hey, amen. But he's dying from emphysema because he smoked 40 years. And he couldn't understand why God wouldn't forgive him or heal him. He just couldn't. I said to him, he said, what do you think, young man? I said, all I know is the Bible said you will sow what you have, or you will reap what you have.
You're right.
The very best among us, hey man, have things in our past that we don't want to think about. Amen. And God has forgave and forgotten him, but Satan hasn't and he never will. Amen. Forget it and we'll remind us of them from time to time.
All
right. Amen. The aftermath of sin. I thought about David. I really don't like to talk about David too much in this phase of his life. But it happened. And it happened for a reason. Amen. That you and I could take notice of that and leave it alone. And it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle that David sent Joab, his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house. From the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. One said, this is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. We know what David did. I don't even talk about it. Amen. Hard to understand, didn't it? David, the giant killer. The sweet psalmist of Israel. Captain of the host. Beloved of all his subjects. A man after God's own heart. But all of this did not exempt David from facing the aftermath of his sin. Huh? And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. He came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich, the other poor. You know the story. The rich man had lots of flocks and herds, but he took a poor man's one ewe lamb and slew it and fed it to that stranger. Amen. A traveler. Amen. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. He said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, because he had no pity. Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." David had sinned grievously. David was quick to admit his sin. David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And the Bible said, and Nathan said to David, "And the Lord hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." Isn't God good?
Amen.
Every one of us was in that place. "Oh, Brother Leon, I never committed adultery. I never said you did. You're still in his place. You're dying in sin." Amen. God forgave us. Oh, did he forgive us? Amen. God's good. But still David faced the aftermath of his sin. Nathan said, "How be it? Because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." Amen. That wasn't all. He said, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me and taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house." It all came to pass. Not one of David's sons, not even Solomon, lived for God with all their heart all the days of their life. Not one.
Right. You're right.
Not one.
Come on.
Brethren, he watched as one of his sons raped his own sister.
Right.
Watched as another son took his life.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Sat there while one son stole the hearts of all of Israel. David had to run for his life. All his life, amen, Brother Junior, amen, his family was into it. They never lived for God.
Come on, help him, God. Come on. Come on, brother.
You don't want to live with the aftermath of sin, amen. Thank God we can be set free from sin. Oh, I'm glad for that. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, young people, keep your life clean. Keep it clean. Leave it alone. You don't want to live with the aftermath of sin. Listen to the words of this man. "There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. Mine iniquity has gone over my head. It's a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I'm troubled. I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. Oh, God, help us." Words of a man whose soul is troubled deeply. Amen. Listen. He said, "For I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me." I'm persuaded that David, amen, had trouble sleeping at night. Amen, Brother Lloyd. I'm sure he walked a lot. Probably Bathsheba went to Nathan the prophet and said, "You got to do something for David. He's not sleeping. He's not eating. And I can see Nathan coming in saying, David, God forgave you. He put your sin away. You're not going to die. I know that. But when I close my eyes, I see Uriah the Hittite. When I close my eyes, I see my daughter that's been defiled by her brother. I turn around and they're into it and they're fighting and killing one another. Oh, to God that I never saw her. Too late. Now you must live with the aftermath of that sin. Oh God, help me, Lord. Help me. There is no sin. There is no pleasure in this world. I don't care what anybody says. Amen. There's nothing, amen, worth giving up peace of mind for. I thought about something I read or heard. A young girl, 13, 14 years old, under much peer pressure to give up her virginity. Everybody's doing it. Day after day, they talked to her girlfriends. Said, you haven't lived yet till you tried this. You say, Leon, you're getting a little plain. It's about time we spoke up to our young people and let them know that they don't have to be like the world. Time after time, they kept it up. Finally, one day in the locker room, they was really pressing her. And Brother Junior, she said, I want you all to know something. I can become what you are anytime, but you can never be what I am now. Come on, young people. You can go to the devil anytime you want to, but there's some out there that can never come back. They can never be what you are tonight. They can never have what you have because... Leave it alone! Leave it alone! You don't have to live with it. You don't have to do it. You don't have to conform. Amen. Sweet Lamb of God, I know I got saved when I was 12 years old. I know how it was to go to school and be the sore thumb. Hey man, I know what it's like. Hey man, they said, Buzzard, if you don't learn how to do the Mexican hat dance in our PE class, said, we're going to flunk you. I said, flunk away. I was in the state of California. They said, it's the law. You have to dress for PE in shorts and t-shirts. I said, it'll be a cold day somewhere. A little younger then. I said, I'm not about to do it. I ain't going to do it. We'll see about that. Off we went to Mr. Schumann's office, the Dean of Men. We got a rebellious person here. He won't dress out for PE. He said, are you better than the rest of them? I said, no, I'm just saved. He said, is it against your religious principles or your church's religious principles? I said, it's against my principles. He looked at the coach and said, he can wear a sweatpants. He said, not only he doesn't want to go in the shower with the rest of the men. We said, let him shower in your shower. And if he don't want to learn how to do the Mexican hat dance, he don't have to.
All right. Woo! Come on. Come on. Stand up for it. Come on.
In our biology class, they're teaching, you know, we come from monkeys. Right. We had tests that counted for 50% of the grade. Amen. And had it right on there. And I wrote down, Darwin said, and when I got through with that, I said, but the Bible said, and then I made that man so mad. Hey, man, Mr. Holly, I still remember him. He said, you ain't nothing but a troublemaker. I'm taking you to see Mr. Schumann. I said, it won't be the first time. Down to the office we went. In there we went. He said, you again. I said, yes, sir. He said, what's wrong now? Hey, man, Mr. Holly said, he on his test, he wrote down, he said, did he write down what the book said? He said, yeah. But after that, he said, but the Bible said, he said, leave him alone and give him a passing grade. You don't have to conform to this world. You don't have to pull a trailer behind you with the aftermath of compromising. Come on, church! God has given us a backbone. Use it. Woo! Sweet Lamb of God, I'm feeling better than I thought I was going to. Amen. Amen. I want to tell you something, church. It's about time that we realize that God is on our side. My son Matthew was in that, and his grades were so good, he's in that Pi Beta Club, you know, I don't know what all it is. And they'd done their partying and all that kind of junk. Matthew wouldn't go. He wouldn't go. They tried to get him to him, he wouldn't. He said, Daddy, what do you think? And I said, well, we can quit school before we can start doing that.
That's right.
I said, I want you to get a high school education, but I said, we ain't going to compromise for you to get an education. So he just told him, said, Daddy said, I didn't have to, and I don't have to, and I'm not going to. Counselor didn't like it too good. Amen. But the club got together, the children got together, and they said, look, Matthew, he don't smoke, he don't drink, he don't party, he don't do it like this. Let's pass a rule, amen, that we won't do none of that as long as Matthew's in the Pi Beta Club. And that's what they done. That's what they done. I'm telling you, if we'll stand up for our rights, amen, he's going to stand up for us too. Don't compromise. You'll carry that.
You're right. Yes, sir.
After man. Now look at Esau. Amen. Bible said, lest there be any fornicator, profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. What are you selling for? I know how it is. Everybody's wearing this kind of jacket at school, Mama. Everybody's wearing these kind of tennis shoes, Mama. Costs $125 a piece, but so what? I won't be like the rest of them. Look out, buzzard. Look out, look out. I'm talking to the young people, and some of you old people, too. I mean, some of y'all are as bad as the young people. Amen. I don't believe Walmart have a thing in the world to say about how we dress. I don't believe some queer from Paris has a right to tell us either. Come on here. Come on here. Come on here, church. Come on, I'm telling you. Hey, man, that's the reason why there's no victory in the church is because some of us is carrying such a big load of aftermath where we've compromised along the way with this and that and the other thing. I don't know how it is here, but in Oklahoma they got to where the girls was combing their hair and it looked like a wet mop. It did.
Come on now.
It did. It really did. I said, they can't be doing that on purpose. Can't be. Esau wouldn't have died if he hadn't ate that bowl of beans.
No.
Sweet Lamb of God, you won't die either.
That's
You don't look like the world and act like the world and go where they're going. Amen. You won't die. In fact, you'll live. You'll die if you go with them. Come on, Esau sold it out for a bowl of beans. Or peas or lentils is what the Bible said. And it said peas are beans. Black-eyed peas or something like that. That's why I don't eat black-eyed peas or green peas. Butter beans. Or a lot of it costs you your soul. But Esau wanted what he wanted right now. I got to have it now. You don't have to have it now. Come on, church. Amen. Brother Lloyd, I told the Lord, and you know, I said, all right, Lord, I'm 60-some years old here, and I'm too old to pastor anymore, really, handicapped in several ways. And I said, so I'm just going to evangelize. Well, the devil said, you ain't got no house, you ain't got nothing, you ain't got nothing. You ain't got a thing. I own 2 acres of land in Oklahoma. And that's because I inherited from Daddy. Amen. I wouldn't have that. And the Lord moved on Brother Kevin Webster. How many of you know Kevin? Good Indian friend. He told me, he said, the Lord laid it on my heart. Told my son, said, the Lord laid it on my heart to try to build your daddy a house on his property or somewhere. And so Matthew told me, and I told the wife, here's my faith. I said, they won't get enough to put up a pup tent.
Come on, Brother Bunny. Help me,
John. I took up well over $20,000 and put me a trailer house there. Whew! Prettiest thing you ever seen. Bragging, Brother Leon, in the Lord. In the Lord. He said, for you know, ye know, how that afterwards he would have inherited the blessing. He was rejected because he sold out for a bowl of beans. Come on, church. He found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. I read over there where he cried out to his father, oh, my father, hast thou not one blessing left? I said, this is it. I'm telling you, this is it. What I'm preaching to you tonight, this is it. There ain't no other way. Huh? There ain't no other way. You cannot go to heaven partaking of sin. The old song we used to sing a lot around holiness is, sin can never enter in. It will stop you at the door and bar you out forevermore. Sin can never enter there. Thank God it can't. Amen. I'm glad when I leave here, I ain't never going to see no more of it. Amen. Amen. And we know that the enmity between Esau and Jacob still exists today between the Jews and the Ahab. They kill each other because they want to. Because they hate each other. Because years ago, Esau sold his birthright, amen, for a bowl of beans, and his whole crew had hated the Jews ever since.
Right. Right.
I'm telling you, you want to leave sin alone. You don't want to fool with it at all. Amen. And the Bible says, And I'm glad the Bible says this. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So I can't deny tonight, amen, that there is some pleasure in sin. I can't deny that, because the Bible said there was. Come on. I don't really know for myself. Amen. But I noticed that it said was for a season. It's not going to last. Amnon, with his friend Jonadab, telling him how, raped his own sister. Because he loved her so much that he was sick for her. Come on, church. The Bible said he was. But just as soon as he had accomplished that mission, the Bible said he hated her more than he loved her before. And the day will come when you look at that thing, amen, that you compromised for, and you would to God you never even heard of it.
Right.
You know, our brothers have been preaching good to these young people about looking for a husband and what to look for, and I really like that. I like what Ralph Cox, you know, Ralph's always got a story. He talked about this young man, amen, that married this girl that could sing like a bird. Married her. Said he'd been married for a month or so, and he woke up one morning and looked around, clothes laying on the floor, dirty dishes in the sink, house in a mess. And he woke her up and said, "Sing, honey, sing." You know the best way to get a good wife? Fast and pray. That's what I done. I met her and I really liked her. And we was writing back and forth to each other and I said, "Now God, this is forever." Are y'all out there? Hey, a lot of men carrying the aftermath. And I prayed and fasted for nearly 3 weeks. I was in the United States Air Force. Amen. And I said, "Lord, if this is her, turn it up. If it ain't, turn it down." Sweet Lamb of God, He set me on fire. I have never came to her and said, "Mona, we're moving. I'm taking this church. We're going to leave here and go somewhere else." She ain't just started packing. You're the head of the house. You know what Brother Gabbert said to that woman? Said, "He may be the head of the house, but I'm the neck that turns the head." Brother Gabbert said, "Yeah, and I've never met a neck that had a brain yet." Well, we're everywhere tonight, ain't we? I want to tell you young men something, amen. When it's, you know, it said a man that won't provide for his own is worse than an infidel. He ain't talking about biscuits and gravy altogether. He's talking about spiritual leadership in the house. Huh? You're to be the head of the house even as Christ is the head of the church. Well, praise God. Amen. My little children, he said, I write these things right unto you that ye sin not. Let me emphasize as much as I fully know how to that God does fully forgive and forget. But John said, I'm writing this to tell you, hey man, this is the reason that I'm writing it, is so you won't sin. If you do sin, we got an advocate. Thank God. Amen. Amen. The Bible said, amen, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's God. But John said, I'm writing this so you won't sin. And that's why I feel like that God had me to preach to this to you about the aftermath of sin, that you sin not. You know, folks need to stop and think about what will this be like if I do this. Come on, church. Amen. You know, if Judas could have just sat down and thought about where that was taking him to, it would have been different for him, I think. Amen. But there's one thing for sure. If you don't sin, you ain't going to have to face the aftermath of it. If you don't sin. If you just don't do it. If you just leave it alone. Could have given you, I may have done told less here. I don't know. I'll give you a little Indian proverb, okay? It won't offend any of you white folk, will it? When Indian boys turn about 12 or 13 years old, they are sent to a mountain and climb the mountain. And there they fast for 30 days until they have a dream of something, and that gives them their life's name. That's the way they used to do it. They get up there and they dream about lions or tigers or horses or whatever. Then they take their name from that dream. And then they carry the little medicine pouch, and it has a feather in it or a tooth or a claw of whatever animal they do, and that'll be their name, bear claw or something. You know, I don't know how we got Falling Buzzard. I really don't. That's what's my daddy's name, Falling Buzzard. Amen. My great grandfather's name was Falling Buzzard. Amen. Thank God I'm just Franklin. Amen. And this young boy went up and he had fasted his 30 days and had his dream, and he was leaving the next morning. And they come a skip of snow that night. Y'all know what a skip of snow is. That's just a little bit of snow, but it's got cold on the mountain. And as he was leaving, he heard this voice hollering, "Help! Somebody help me!" And it's coming from a bush, and he went over. Now, this is Indian. So he went over and looked under the bush, and there's a rattlesnake. He said, "I'm going to freeze to death if somebody don't carry me down lower where I can live." He said, "Just take me down there." He said, "I ain't fooling with you. You are a rattlesnake, and you bite me." He said, No, I promise I won't bite you. He wouldn't have nothing. He's going to leave him there." And he just kept on and kept on. He said, "I'll tell you," he said, "I'll make a pact with you." He said, "This is one of them deals." He said, "If you'll carry me down the mountain, I'll never bite you or anybody in your tribe. It'll be a benefit to the whole tribe." He thought, well, maybe so. So he picked him up, wrapped him around his middle, covered him up with his jacket, and down the mountain he clung. He got down in the valley. He opened it up and took him out to throw him away, and he bit him. And as he laid there dying, he said, "You promised me you wouldn't bite me." He said, "Yeah, but you knew what I was when you picked me up." Amen. Leave it alone.